Good morning, Elias. How are you?
And how are you proceeding?
Well, I have gathered a lot of questions. I could hardly wait to get together with you so I could ask you these things. Good. Well, the last time you were trying to help me understand how I create my reality. And I went away thinking, okay, I think I kind of understand it a little better. Okay. But I went back and I thought, well, when you're talking about this wave, you know, the energy that projects out and then it reflects and comes back to us. I went back to the scientific explanation of the eye and the brain and how this works, you know. And what I saw on the website, it talked about a light source, that there has to be a light source that reflects off of objects, and then that light, that object from the light source, reflects back to our eye. And I was wondering, now, your explanation of us projecting the energy makes it sound like this light source is not really the thing that's making our image. But it sounds like we're making our own image. Is this
correct?
This is correct. So in other words, our scientific explanation of this process is not accurate.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what I thought. Okay, so when I'm projecting my energy out, and it also is, I'm reflecting off of things that are already there. We've already talked about that. But I'm also projecting this chemical from the pineal gland, you said. And why am I projecting that chemical from the pineal gland? Tell me that, if there's an object out there already.
But regardless of whether there is an existing object or not, you are also creating it in the moment. But your perception is creating it new in the moment that you are observing it.
Okay, so I'm kind of re-manipulating it. Is that what I'm doing?
Yes.
Okay, that's what you talked about, the shape-changing sort of thing that we discussed. Oh, okay, I think I'm seeing this now better. Okay, I can do away with our traditional scientific diagram of light source hitting bug, and so the bug plus light source comes back to the eye. I can eliminate that. I'm taking our information as what's actually happening, right? That is all happening from me. Okay. Well, that's good to know, because I was really questioning that. All right. So when I'm projecting this chemical out there, I'm actually reforming, according to my perceptions and my beliefs and so on, and my orientation, I'm reconfiguring those things that are out there.
Yes.
Ah, now I think I got it. Okay, now, what is it that comes back to me? Is it just the mirror image that, you know, that hits my eye then and does all those nice things in the eye that they talk about?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So that's when the eye takes over, and that's an image that comes back to me, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think I've got it now. I think I've got it. Okay. Thank you. Bravo. All right. Just a couple little things there, you know, that kept confusing me. Well, let me get my big list here. First of all, do you and I have any focuses as a happy couple?
Yeah.
And when and where would we be... I mean, is it something that you've already shared with the forum? Because I have a list of all your lifetimes here that they have uncovered.
I would expect they It is very likely that you do not have a list of all of my lifetimes.
No, I know that. That's very small. You said that we, you and I, actually share 114, you said one time, of times, focus times, but but in various relationships. So I wanted to know, well, were we a happy couple in one of those, or a couple of those?
Yes, several.
Several. Oh, well, that's nice to know. When did they happen?
I would express that one would be within the time framework of the 1800s in the British Isles. Another would be in a time framework of 1300 in Southern Europe. Another would be in the time framework of 600 BC in an area that is now known as Ethiopia.
Hmm.
And there's another in the 3rd century AD in America. There are several.
My goodness, yeah, okay. Well, that's nice to know we're compatible somewhere. That we don't just murder each other and have, you know, all these other unhappy relationships, you know. Well, all of this is just like a fairy tale to me, that all of this is happening. And you know, it just... Well, it's still boggling my mind. I'm enjoying this very much. Let me ask you about my smoke alarm. Every once in a while, I hear beeps from my smoke alarm, and I can't find any reason for it. Now, I was wondering if I'm causing it, or if maybe by some miracle you might be signaling me.
At times.
At times? Is that what
not
you...
Always, not always. At times it is you.
Uh-huh.
But at times it is my energy being playful.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I appreciate that. I appreciate hearing that because I thought, you know, am I really making contact with your energy?
Yes, you are.
Good, good. That makes me feel good. I'm glad to hear that. So thank you. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
All right. I wanted to know, I was watching a special on TV about spontaneous human combustion. And then I realized that Howard, who is deceased now, had session in 2000 talking about that with you. And you explained that, how that happens. But my question is that there is one man that they interviewed who has burst into flames about 3 or 4 times. And fortunately, he had a friend around him that could put the flames out. And why would that happen? Why would he be doing that to himself? I don't know if you can locate that particular fellow from my a description here.
I would express that it is the choice of experience and also a choice to be not only experiencing but demonstrating what seems to be impossible.
Oh, yeah. Well, he certainly is. Everybody's wondering why he does it and how he does it, you know. He looks a little scared, too. I don't think he understands either why he's doing it. But anyway, I appreciated that because I, it just was pretty neat that yesterday I came across that session with Howard, and you explained it so well, how we act like a microwave, or we can do that to ourselves. And I thought, why would anybody want to do that? I mean, that sounds very painful.
Although not in the same capacity as you would experience with fire.
Well, it sounds pretty bad about having that heating up within, you know, and...
I would express that it is not necessarily comfortable.
Yeah.
Not the same as you would experience if you were to place your hand in a fire.
Uh-huh. Probably not. Maybe a super hot flash like I have sometimes, huh?
Just similar, more intensity, but similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some of those hot flashes can get pretty bad for us women. Yeah. Well, okay. Thank you for that. Now, I'd like to go through a couple of quickies here. You said earlier that I had an observing essence to Moses and Aaron, the biblical characters. Was that a lifetime observing essence?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I really found them fascinating, and I was wondering, did Moses actually go up? Well, I saw something where you were talking to Howard earlier, too, about the Ten Commandments. Those are a reality. I mean, he really went into the mountain and got these stones with the Ten Commandments?
Yeah.
And those stones were, what, imprinted by who? How did that happen?
Now, the story is that the stones were offered by God.
Yes.
And in that, I would express that they were created by that individual.
Uh-huh. By Moses. Is that what
Although, you... Although, that was not his understanding of it. For the beliefs were considerably strong, and the awareness was not tremendous. And therefore, in that, he very much believed that these were an expression of God.
Hmm. He could have been like in a trance or something and actually done this, written these himself. Is that what you're saying? He could have?
It was not necessarily a matter of physically imprinting them, but merely appearing them.
Appealing them, did you say?
Appearing them, yes.
Appearing them. Uh-huh, I see.
Not all that much unusual. You all do it.
Well, yeah.
Semi-frequently. You rationalize what you are doing. You rationalize that you lose objects and you find them.
Yes, that's right.
Or that certain objects are disappeared or are taken away, and then you rediscover them. When in actuality, in most situations, you are doing a very similar action. You are disappearing an object and you are reappearing it.
Yes, I guess we are, aren't we? Yeah.
And at times, you appear certain objects or manifestations. conversations that were not lost, that merely appear in your reality. And you rationalize that also.
Yeah.
Different capacities. Mm-hmm. But in actuality, that is what you are doing. You are merely generating a manifestation from nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating. It's hard for me to get my mind around that, too. Because I'm losing things all the time, the older I get. And so I think, okay, Judy, re-manifest it now. Come on, let's do it. You know, I'm trying to convince myself I can do this, see. I've got to think on that some more. Okay, I want to do some quick questions here. Do I have any connection to the Old Testament Elijah, Elisha, and Samuel?
Samuel, yes.
What would that be?
A friend.
Oh, well, that's nice. Okay. Well, I've always found him fascinating. When he heard that voice, God talking to him, was that his higher self, or just who was that?
In a manner of speaking, although I would express to you, again, you do not necessarily actually interpret a higher self.
Well, yeah. His own essence, maybe. That's what I...
His own essence, yeah.
Okay. Okay. do I have any connection to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who I admire very much?
Counterpart.
Uh-huh. I thought that could be. Okay, then I have a new favorite author. His name is Colin, I'm not sure how I pronounce the first name, Colin Cotterill, Cotterill, and he's a young man now that's writing some very intense and funny stories. Do I have any connection with him?
Also counterpart.
Yeah, okay. I thought probably so. Whenever I have a real strong interest in somebody, I think, oh, another counterpart action there probably. Then April Crawford, she channels like Mary is channeling yourself. I think a group of energies called Veronica, and I have been looking at some of the information that they've been channeling. They have a book called In the Afterlife, Chronicles of the Other Side. And what Veronica does is to bring disengaged souls who will speak through April Crawford, and they talk about their experiences in on the other side. Now, this is so puzzling to me. You had told us a little bit about how we are in another area, like Regional Area 3, when we disengage, and that it usually takes a while for us to start making connections with loved ones here in Regional Area 1. But these people seem to be popping in and out all the time. Where do they exist? Are they in Regional Area 3 also?
Yes.
And so Veronica, or this source energy, is locating these souls that would like to communicate with us. Is that...
Or is tapping into different experiences or tapping into different information, and that may be interpreted as wanting to communicate or express a message, when that may not necessarily be entirely accurate.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't offer a lot of substance. You know, they're kind of expressing the fact that they're comfortable in that area. Some of them are deliberating on whether they want to reincarnate or not because they find it so comfortable there and so on. And I guess what it is it's creating stories to probably comfort people that are left behind, I would assume. Well, anyway, I'm assuming that that is okay. I mean, this woman, she speaks for these people. These people enter her body just like you enter Mary's body. And they're able to drink and eat and get up and walk around. And I think that those are things that Mary does while she's channeling you. Is that right?
Generally not, but it is possible.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I think it's pretty remarkable how easy it seems to be getting. More and more people seem to be channeling these days. Is that part of this shift?
That is correct. And that would be associated with this shift.
Uh-huh. Well, it's very, very interesting. I went back to Seth, or Jane Roberts' book, and Seth's story of the Other Earth Blink. I had asked you at an earlier time about this very wonderful story of three civilizations on Earth. And I said, well, that didn't make sense to me. And you said that that was another Earth blink. So I studied that story again. And he said that the first civilization actually evolved to the point where they left the reincarnational cycle. A lot of them, most of them, and they went on to other areas in the galaxy. And that we could look at those people as actually the gods of this earth. See, I can't remember exactly how he put that anymore. I wondered, they formed new races and species that could no longer physically accommodate themselves to this atmospheric condition. I thought that was an interesting comment. It says they also continued on the reincarnational level as long as they inhabited physical reality. Some of them have mutated and left this cycle. They've discarded the material form. They evolved into the mental entities that they always were. Earth to them now is legendary home. Now, I wanted to know, one of these places that you said I shared with you is some kind of a plane or planet that is in another part of our galaxy and in our same time frame. Is that one of the places that these people would have gone?
Are you speaking in this dimension or another?
Well, I'm not quite sure because I'm getting very confused about all these dimensions. Since, first of all, how many blinks did the Earth have?
So count.
Huh?
Countless.
Countless. Oh, I thought there were only three or something like that. Countless. Oh, my. So there are many, many Earths.
Yeah.
Are they all superimposed on each other?
In a manner of speaking, yes.
Because Seth made the comment that we kind of have bleed-throughs. And this one civilization that he was pointing out to us was the Lumanians. And how the Lumanians were still... he says they're still present in our psychic atmosphere. And it says that their cities still coexist in land areas now called your own. And so these other probable identities coexist with the identities you call your own. So to me, it was almost like when you instructed us that we can look in a mirror and see our other another face appearing of ourselves. It gave me that same kind of an image in my mind of the Earths being superimposed on each other.
Heaven, but previously, all dimensions occupy the same space arrangement.
Yeah.
Separated by dimensional veils, but they all occupy the same space arrangement. Therefore, in a manner of speaking, you are correct. They are superimposed upon each other.
Okay. So that way, I think it was Howard and I can't remember his wife's name now, but she was very active in the forum before both of them passed away. The two of them had experienced a bleed through out in Arizona, I believe.
Yeah,
so that was a good example right there of another dimension, right? Would that have been another Earth blink?
No.
No, that was still this particular Earth time, huh?
But a different dimension, yeah.
But a different dimension. Boy, see, yeah. I really get confused on blinks and dimensions. Whatever. But anyway, what was my question here? Okay, here is a comment that Seth made about the Lumanians. He said that there is a bleed through right now, and this would have been back in the 70s when this book was written, 1970s, but he says that there is a bleed through now in the making, in which the Lumanians' multidimensional concepts of art and communication will be glimpsed by your own people, but in a rudimentary form. And I was wondering, well, what kind of art was he referring to?
I would express that this is referring to the direction that you moved in relation to your computers.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would make sense, because that's just when the computer age was starting in. Yeah, all right. Thank you. All right, did I have another question in here? That story of the Lumanians is fascinating. And that, according to Seth, was the beginnings of the Jehovah warrior god concept. Does that make sense to you, too?
Would express that there was an aspect of that in relation to some element of bleed through, but not entirely. But yes, it was an influence.
Uh-huh. Yeah. there was supposed to have been a third civilization in that Earth blink. And Seth had said that he was going to describe it, and then they never got back to that. Can you give me some little quick overview of how that third civilization, how it progressed in that Earth blink?
Now, let me express here that the words that are being used differently.
Oh.
But that is being used in the context of an actual other dimension.
Oh. That other Earth blink was a different dimension?
Yeah. And what that essence was referring to in many of these discussions were actual other dimensional expressions, experiences, and beings, not necessarily actual difference personally.
Not actual earth blinks. Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's, I guess it's really one giant fairy tale to me, so I think if I just say that, I'll be satisfied. anyway. Well, oh, okay. Here's another question. We were talking about the pilot who blinked out, over the, Bermuda Triangle and went into another dimension, and you said that he chose to be an infant because that's less confusing, you know. But when they choose to be an infant, they have to choose parents, right? They don't just pop into a family as a baby already born.
Right.
So they're actually almost handling themselves like they would. Well, this is another question. When we come back as a so-called reincarnational aspect of ourselves, it's just an aspect of ourselves, you said. We're a completely new person coming back in. So, what?
Not momentarily. First of all, let me express to you that the idea of reincarnation is a development of a religious belief. All of your focuses are simultaneous. You do not actually reincarnate.
Right.
Therefore, as an example, you yourself, in this focus, would not disengage or die and then subsequently re-manifest in this reality. That does not occur. All of your focuses are all occurring simultaneously, and each one is individual. And when each one disengages, it moves on. It does not re-engage physical focus, so that would be redundant.
Yeah. Well, but still you have said that aspects of our disengaging.
Aspects of yourself can be projected into physical reality to be continuing some participation, but they are not an actual focus. They are an aspect of yourself that is projected to some element of the physical reality that you can continue that connection with this physical reality, but you are not experiencing another focus. Just as you do not re-manifest or reincarnate in the form of an animal, but you can project an aspect of yourself, a fleck, so to speak, to an animal. Are you manifesting as that animal? No. Are you experiencing a focus as that animal? No. You are projecting a fleck of your energy in relation to that animal, and therefore you maintain a connection with certain aspects of physical reality, and in that it allows you to continue to participate in certain capacities in that reality, but you are not experiencing in the capacity of the being, and you are not manipulating in any capacity the matter of speaking, it could be likened, although this is figurative, but projecting an aspect or a fleck, so to speak. Some aspect of the physical reality would be similar to projecting an aspect of your awareness into some manifestation in the reality and configuring it in the form of an expression or a quality.
yeah, I think, but you would, in other words, happiness or a, some kind of...
No.
No?
Question such as a type of action or a type of mannerism, so to speak, or a quality.
So I would project an aspect of myself into another individual that's being born. Is that what you're saying? So that I could experience what?
No. So that you would maintain a particular connection. Let me offer a simple example.
Okay.
Could project a fleck of your consciousness into, let us say, a dog.
Yeah.
And in that, let us say that this particular dog expressed in placing itself in the home of a family member or a dear friend of yours.
Ooh.
And in that, you projecting the fleck of energy into this dog, it would be displayed or recognized by the action of this dog generating a specific action of tilting its head very specifically and very consistently in response to certain expressions. Now, in that, what you are doing is you are not projecting that fleck of consciousness to be experiencing the lifetime and the experiences of the dog or of anything around the dog. What you are doing is you are maintaining a connection, perhaps, with the consciousness of the dog itself and of the humans that it resides with. If you were to project that flex into that dog, it would likely be the reconfiguration of energy of, let us say, an animal companion that you had interacted with yourself. or even many times, and that you interpret a fondness for that particular configuration of energy. And when it reconfigured itself again, you may have chosen to project a fleck of your energy, your consciousness, into that manifestation to maintain the connection physically with that configuration of energy of the animal and with the individual that interacts with the animal. But you are not generating a focus. You are not experiencing all that animal and its surroundings are experiencing. You are merely maintaining a physical connection with individuals or other manifestations in the physical reality.
Uh-huh. Okay. I think I can understand that. And so we can send these aspects or flecks to other focuses too, human focuses?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why my friend Sandra could recognize this one child, her friend in this one child. And I think you said that maybe the friend who had left this plane, I think, was an observing essence. Now that would also account for the familiarity, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So even if we don't send back an aspect of ourselves physically, we can be an observing essence and also probably convey some or have some recognition by those surrounding that person. Okay, I think I'm kind of getting some of this. All right. Now, another question here. Thank you for that. We were talking about this spontaneous human combustion. In that talk with Howard, you had mentioned that this is a way that we can... let's see, how is it? You were describing how our body consciousness is another projection of energy, and it continues within this physical dimension and this regional area one, and you've made the comment many times, regardless that the individual has chosen to be disengaging physical focus. Now, I wanted to have you explain this many times. If we die normally and we're buried the usual way with either mummification, you know, as the Egyptians did, or like we do with putting formaldehyde or whatever into their veins and burying the body, how long does our body consciousness connect to those bodies that are not deteriorating?
Are you inquiring how long do you maintain being connected with the body consciousness?
Yeah.
After you disengage?
Right.
To maintain a connection with that body consciousness as long as it continues to exist.
So that could be eons or many ages because... is that right?
Yes, it could be.
The mummies that... and you said that somehow I have a connection with some of those mummies over there in Egypt, and I haven't really looked into that yet, but... you're saying that my body consciousness from those lifetimes, from those bodies, is still floating around in region area one?
Yeah. Not floating around.
No.
But it's connected with
Oh, so we, boy, so we have to, boy, we're really connected to those bones and whatnot, huh?
Yeah.
Gosh. That sounds kind of gross. Well, sounds like a kind of a hardship. Oh, well. When I think about links of consciousness that make up stones, I guess that could be pretty boring. I'm just trying to figure this out now. Okay, when I disengage, my husband and I have discussed this, when we disengage, and we are final focus, as you told me, we both plan on cremation. Does that mean that once I am cremated, that all of those body consciousness things that are connected to my mummies would be released?
No.
No.
It is a matter of individual body. And remember, a final focus is merely a designation of a position.
Oh. Oh.
And in that, let me also explain that generating the connection to the body consciousness is not necessarily a designation of continuing to participate within physical focus.
Oh.
Or is not necessarily participating in physical focus. They are maintaining a presence, and in that they are maintaining an aspect of objective and subjective awareness, but not necessarily participating.
Huh. Well, is there any kind of excitement for those poor links of consciousness?
But they are not forlorn or poor.
Well, it sounds as, poor.
As I have expressed to you previously, you are much more than you think you are.
Well, I'm starting to get that idea.
One singular attention.
I am.
And therefore, just as within physical focus, you can generate many actions simultaneously, and you incorporate some limitations within physical focus. In non-physical, you do not incorporate those limitations, and therefore you can be maintaining many, 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 many more actions simultaneously. Therefore, the attention is not singularly assigned and bound to merely that one action of maintaining that one body consciousness.
So they can be out and about and doing things too. Okay. Oh boy. Well, it must be there's a lot of stuff floating around here in Regional Area 1 that we can't see.
Yes.
I
would very much agree.
Well, I'm not sure. Sometimes I wish I could see it, and then sometimes I think maybe I better not. I get confused with just seeing what's in this three-dimensional area here right now, I think. But anyway, that's... okay, so when will these... what is it? Body consciousness... when will those be released? I mean, if you have a mummy that continues on and on and on, when will they be released?
to be.
What?
And they choose to be. It is not a sentence. It is not a confinement.
Oh.
And in that, when they choose to stop, they will stop.
Oh, I see. So they have choice. They Did you say yes?
Yes, most definitely.
Uh-huh. They have the choice to be released when they want. Okay. All right.
They're not fine. Therefore, it is not a matter of being released. There is a choice. In that, they are not being confined or held or bound. They're choosing
okay.
to maintain that body consciousness.
All right. I'll accept that. Okay. I want to do some questions about my group here. So that could be interesting, of interest to them too. I wanted to know if any of them or which ones of them have been associated with the Oscar Wilde focus. I already have located, myself and Sandra and Lynn Krall, that we have been connected to Oscar Wilde. Are there some others in my group that also are connected?
Three more.
Is Susan Kirk one of them?
Yeah.
Okay, and what are we all of us, is she once again one of the male companions?
Yeah.
Okay, and let's see here, I'll go down. You probably don't know their names. I should maybe tell you their names, see who the other two are.
And what is your impression?
My impression. Well, I figured Susan would be. Let's see if I have an impression on any of the others here. How about Val?
Correct.
Okay, I'm doing pretty good here. One more then, huh? Let's see. I'm looking through my list here to just get an impression from them. Now, this family doesn't come all the time, but I'm kind of keying in on Chris Pelega.
Correct.
And that's the last of them, then? Is that all of us?
Yeah.
And are we all these male...
No.
No?
The last individual was a publisher.
Publisher. Oh. Can you remember the name of that publisher? It seems like
I would encourage you to investigate.
Well, didn't he, was he the one that kind of supported Oscar Wilde?
No.
No, that wasn't the man then, huh? Okay,
no.
I don't think so. But now Val was another male companion, is that right? Or whatever you would call us. I have a feeling we were not actual companions. We may have come and gone very quickly.
I would agree.
Yeah, because it sounds like Oscar was very, prolific with his... and that's right, huh?
Correct.
Yeah. So we're... let's see, how many of us were there again? Susan Kirk, let's see, four, there were, now I've lost track here, three, four, five. So five of us, were we one night stands?
For the most part.
Okay. All right. Well, it's interesting because that way I know that at least the five of us have had a homosexual focus in there somewhere. So, very interesting. How about my husband? Was he in that particular setting during that focus time? Would he have had any connection with Oscar Wilde?
No, not with Oscar, but with you.
With me? Oh, yeah. Oh. What kind of relationship did we have then?
Very close friends.
Very close, did you say?
Yeah.
As male and male?
Yes, friends.
Okay. Two close male friends, huh?
Yes.
Were we sexually involved?
Occasionally.
Okay, interesting. Well, okay, now let's see. I was trying to think of some other people here. I've been promising Ken I would ask you about his interest in fixing things and building things. And he said that it's so easy for him to find solutions to correcting problems, you know, and issues. He seems to get answers so easily, and he's good with his hands. Is there a certain a focus that he relates to that helps him in these situations?
Not necessarily. I would express that this is his own quality.
That's pretty much
He has expressed this himself, and it is not necessarily the quality that he has assumed from another focus.
I see. Well, he certainly seems very talented in that respect. So I'll pass that along to him. He'll probably appreciate that. Well, anyway, I thank you so much for all of this, all of these answers you've given me today, Elias. And it's very exciting to know that we've had some close focuses here in other areas. I suppose in the future I'll be asking you about some of the other dimensions that we're connected with.
And very well.
That will interest me too. So thank you so much. You're a real blessing to me.
Very welcome, my dear friend. I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting.
Thank you. I will be too.
Tremendous encouragement to you and great affection. And please do offer my greetings to your group.
Okay, I will do that. And thank you for extending them. So,
my dear friend, until our next meeting, au revoir.
Au revoir. Bye-bye.